since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1220. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me for this episode, the return of Pete. What's up, Pete?
What up, everybody, man? How you guys doing?
Man, it's been great, man. How's it been with you, man? Because you've been out for a while, yeah. Traveling and everything.
Yeah,
and you're back.
It's been a whirlwind. Finally get to launch, the project that, we've been working on for my day-to-day job for... Mm-hmm. Better part of three plus years since I came on board there. Obviously that coincides with the 3 year, anniversary of me calling it, hey, I'm stepping away from GTR, and then you and Paris say, nah, you're not leaving, you'll be back. We talked about that, right? I mean, that's kind of what it was, right? But yeah, I mean, it's the culmination of a massive project that, myself and everybody that I work with has been working hard to complete, and it's I don't want to say it's bittersweet, because it was exciting, but it's just the first of many, and many more to come. So it's exciting. Got a chance to spend the last 3 weeks in New York again. It kind of seems to have been my second home over the last few years. Especially through the pandemic, but being able to travel back and forth, and the belly is full with Korean barbecue and chicken wings and all that other good American food. But as all good things, it does come to an end, and I'm glad to be back home in Switzerland. Excited to spend time with the wife. I'm off for a few days. Actually, I'm off till Thursday. Then I've got 2 days off, and then I'm off for another week. It's a lot of hard work, but it all translates to some time off with the family, just good downtime, and play some video games.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
It's a good time. It's a good time to do that too. It's a good time for video games right now.
Hell yeah. Well, now welcome back, man. And also I want to say, but Paris can join us for this week, but he'll be back for the next one. I'm telling you, our schedule has been kind of random every week. So I like it when we all get together, and hopefully we'll do that one of these days. It's going to take some time.
Of course. We'll be back.
But I'm happy to see Pete finally got his Steam Deck. I know I will tweet about mine. Paris would do the same. And Pete is like, damn, man, I'm still waiting for mine. I'm still waiting for mine. So we're going to be talking about that in a few seconds here. But first, head over to Gamertag Radio. .com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, and the most important thing is, please post your review. The more you do that, it will help us out to get discovered from all the new podcast listeners out there around the world, man. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, hey, we'd like to answer some questions. This is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, so let's talk about your experience about the Steam Deck, man. Because, I've been playing for a while, Paris 2. And for me, the most important game as of right now, just came out recently, a couple of days ago, for the Steam Deck and also for the PC, is Spider-Man Remastered. Thanks to PlayStation for sending us a code early. Pia, I just want to hear your experience about, Steam Deck, and also your thoughts about Spider-Man. This is your first time actually playing it, right? Is this your first time?
No, actually, I beat the game, my son beat the game, and my daughter was just starting to play it when it first came out for PlayStation 4. So So okay, I've played it before. I was kind of hoping, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but I was hoping that there would be some form of cross progression, because then I could import my old game save from my PS4 account, because you know it is linked to Steam. So I was hoping that I'd be okay, cool, I can download it. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play it on the return trip. I know it just went live for everybody this past Friday. But I actually got my Steam Deck while I was in New York. It just seemed to be like kismet. It was just like perfect timing. I was going to be in the States the day, you know, just after getting the notification. I think I talked about it even the last time that I was on the show, that, you know, I still hadn't gotten my notification, but lo and behold, just as I'm, you know, just a week prior to going back to the States, I get the email, it's happening, right? And then it's just, okay, I know I'm only going to be there for 2 weeks. Will I get my Steam Deck during those 2 weeks? So I'm like, I'm on Twitter DMs. I'm like, hey, Nano, you know, your brother. I'm like, hey, or talking to like Rihanna. I was like, hey, do you think you're like, how long after you got the email did you get it? And you know, everybody was like, no, don't worry about it, you should be getting it soon. And then, you know, I got the email, it's going to be shipping. I updated it so that it went to the, you know, to the project site. And I think it was like my second day on the site, and like, or the second or third day. No, you know, it arrived on a Wednesday. I landed on Monday, and the box was there. I tried to do like a really quick unboxing, but it was so busy on the project site that like, as soon as I hit record, it was just like, door opens and I'm just like, nope.
Not gonna work. So
I tried to do it. I tried it like three times and I just gave up, because it wasn't, the excitement was bubbling. I just wanted to open it, turn it on and see what it looked like, see how it felt to finally have it in my hands. It wasn't meant to be, but you know, that's just for that little quick moment that I was hoping to share with, you know, all of our followers and friends on socials. But I was excited. It was cool to see, you know, to finally have it in my hands, you know, fired it up, connected it to the network, and then just started like looking for games that I could, you know, play over the next few days or over the next few weeks. So obviously first thing I went to was PUBG. Then I downloaded Gears of War, Death Stranding. And I think that was it for the first 2 or 3 weeks. You know, I wasn't able to put in as much time as I wanted to during those evening times when in between, you know, coming home. Cause this was like, I'm working like 14, 16 hour days, right? I'm like, I'm up at 6 and I'm getting home at like 9. So it was really difficult to like get good timing into play. But, you know, just as I'm about to leave, I'm seeing all these, you know, I'm seeing you in Paris. Oh my God, Spider-Man is so good. And I'm getting excited because I'm like, oh, I can download it and I can play it on the plane. No, absolutely not, Peter. That's not going to happen to you. I even messaged you guys. I was like, you guys get a code or is this live? And then I looked it up right before you guys answered. I was like, oh, I got to wait till I get home. Cause that was like the one thing I was going to be super excited for. You know, I just kept playing God of War, you know, which I had played on PlayStation as well. So, you know, but it's been, you know, 4 or 5 years. So I was just like, all right, so it's essentially a brand new experience at that point. And I must say, good God, I never thought I was going to put my hand on a controller and enjoy it again. You know, me being the PC guy, but it just works and it plays smoothly. I think I only had one issue over the last 3.5 weeks that I've had this in my hands where it went to a cutscene and the game ended. But other than that, you know, I just restarted the game and right back to where I was. It's where Atreus gets yanked by the monster early in the game. But other than that, you know, I've been playing Spider-Man all day today. God of War. I haven't kicked off Death Stranding because I figured with two games, it's more than enough to take up my attention. You know, I do have travel over the next, you know, over the next 3 or 4 months. So it'd be a great opportunity to test it. But it was pretty cool. I want to say it was kind of like that peacock moment sitting on the plane as everybody is, you know, coming in and they're passing and like seeing kids, teens, and even adults like, what's he got over there? Oh,
is that a Switch?
No, not even. It's like you're thinking, you know, people are thinking, oh my God, is that a Vita or something like that? Cause I'm playing God of War. But you know, the younger kids were like, oh my God, yo, is that the cute day? That's a Steam Deck. And then, you know, everybody, you know, for the most part recognizes Kratos at some point, right? Especially if you're my generation and back, you know, cause it's such a seminal character. And it was really cool to see, like, you know, like even my colleague who was actually flying back on the same flight was sitting next to me and he was like, what is that? And I handed it to him and I was like, this is the Steam Deck. You know, this is the latest iteration of handheld gaming. It, you know, it just came out, you know, less than a year ago. And it's like, it's mm-hmm. the hottest craze right now, right? Like you can take your whole library essentially, like, right, like you and I, we've got a rather large library for the most part. And he was just like clicking all the way through and he was like, you could play all these? I was like, for the most part, yeah. I was like, you know, there might be some limitations or some, you know, blockers, like whether like PUBG, perfect example. You can't play it on the Steam Deck because it uses BattleEye, which is an anti-cheat, which is surprising because Apex, you can play on the Steam Deck and it has its own anti-cheat, but it's a different iteration of it it's not the same BattleEye, you know, client that's used by EA. So that one is actually, you're allowed to play. So it was really cool to get into those little conversations of, you know, oh, what is that? You know, and, you know, showing them, letting people hold it in their hands and being like, this is essentially a stripped down version of my gaming PC at home. Less monitors, obviously. I don't have the keyboard and mouse, but you know, it you know, it's tactile enough that allows you to play really, really, you know, up to the latest generation of games and being a great experience. The graphics are great. Like I've been pushing it at full, which yeah, I maybe get an hour and a half of game time. You know, if I'm lucky, I think hour and a half was probably the most I got on the plane with, you know, before I had to like, you know, put it on the charger. But wow, I can't say enough good things about this. Valve, y'all did a bang up job. This is an amazing job by you guys, from a hardware perspective. You know, audio, it was a little tricky having to connect my Apple AirPods to it to work so I could have wireless. But it wasn't something that I couldn't just jump onto Reddit and figure out. You know, for those that are curious, you have to go to desktop mode, pair it, and then you can go back to the regular Steam Deck mode and boom, you're off to the races. But yeah, I mean, I'm stoked. It's met and exceeded all of my expectations. I thought I was going to have issues with it. I think maybe the only thing is it's everybody's battery life. But I just maybe have to tweak settings or maybe not play on full, full mm-hmm. performance mode. That and, you know, having a portable heater. But coming up into the winter season here in Switzerland, I'm sure this will become my best friend.
That would be perfect for you. Yeah. You know, It's interesting hearing all the feedback from people that actually have the Steam Deck, because mm-hmm. back then I was kind of like, let me just wait. This is like Valve's first portable device. Like I'm not going to mess with it. And plus I had an experience too with the Steam machine a couple mm-hmm. years back. It was great at first. And then my device got messed up and I didn't really get support from the companies and everything. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to buy a device like this again from Valve. And look, I bought it and I'm having a blast, man, with the Steam Deck, man. So actually, I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man. I've been playing a lot of other games, especially indie games. But I'm planning to get Call of the Lamp. I know that came out recently. I'm not 100% sure if that's verified on the Steam Deck. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. And also, Pete, believe it or not, I also got a device where it's like a dock. I think the company is called Jox. They sent me that and a couple other items for my Steam Deck. So the dock, I connected to the TV, and I've been playing Spider-Man like that too, man. So it looks great. I actually been playing other games too on her on the Steam Deck, but connected to the TV, and she's been playing it like that for days ever since we got it, man. So it's good, man. It's really, really cool, man, to experience that, man. So, but one of the topics that I have here, Pete, and I definitely want to hear your thoughts about this too, man. So this is from Video Game Chronicles. Shout out to them. PlayStation site hints that PC ports may need a PCN account in the future. And for those who don't know, there is some games on Steam that you could also use your Xbox Live account. You log in through there and everything. So, and the good thing is, you know, have like achievements and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? So I think it will be something great for PlayStation to do, man. First, it will help the numbers of how many people have accounts of PlayStation accounts. Also, it will help to boost the numbers of PlayStation members, right? And also, if there's a way where cross saves or maybe when you unlock trophies from the PC, it will also will pop up on your console version too, man. I think that would be great if Sony could manage to do this in the future. And I think it is, man, because it's been working for Xbox for years, man. Your thoughts? You think this is something that Sony should do or what for you?
Honestly, I don't know if I have a problem with that. And that's more so, like I mentioned earlier, that if there's a cross progression opportunity or cross save for me to go back and forth, I'm totally cool with that. I don't subscribe as much to the trophy slash achievement thing. Like, it's cool for me, but it's not something that I target hardcore. I know there's others that are, you know, like Achievement Hunter and what is it, Mr. Completionist or something like that.
Shout out to Gerard.
Yeah. So like, that's cool. And you know, for that, it's not me, but you know, that's not a knock on that at all. I would love to be able to play this. And if I had a PlayStation 5, be able to switch back and forth. Like, let's say I'm playing this or I'm playing Miles Morales, which is allegedly coming soon. We just don't have a date yet. But to be able to play those games. And if I'm, let's say I'm playing here at home on a PlayStation 4 / PlayStation 5, I get to a certain part of the game. I take it on my Steam Deck, as long as I can sign it to PlayStation and download that, at least that save data to my Steam Deck, go on a flight, go on a business trip for 2 or 3 weeks, play the game in my off time as like my little release, you know, my personal time, you know, off time. When I'm able to sync to the cloud, it pushes my game saves up. And then when I get back home here in Europe, I can, you know, I can continue my game save. I don't have to start all over, or I don't have to start the game from scratch when I leave my house. So with that, I'm totally okay with them saying PlayStation Live IDs need to, you know, you need to sign in to play it. As long as it gives me a chance to play it offline and let me save those progressions when I get back to a network. Because, you know, airplane internet is god awful at best. So I would never try and play it on the plane. But you know, that's why I am okay with that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I think this is a great idea if that happens in the future. And I think, and this is my theory. Again, this is my theory. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But don't be surprised that in the future, long time from now, we could see PlayStation Plus, the subscription service, also available on PC using those accounts through there, and where people could, they could play PlayStation games on the console and also PC. I'm not saying it's going to go through Steam or anything like that, but I'm saying separately, I could definitely see that, man. And that's business-wise, that will increase the numbers of people to be part of the subscription service. I mean, it's been working for Xbox now. Why not do the same thing for PlayStation? I think it'll be genius if they could do something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I agree 100%. I'm down for it.
Would you subscribe if there's something that, you know, PC... You don't need a console, and you'll play all those games that came out for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, even the old school games, which I know you're not gonna go and play those. But if it's games for like PS4 and PS5, and also available on through the subscription service, like similar to Xbox, will you get it or not?
It's funny because prior to the Steam Deck, there was maybe two games that I have gone back to after defeating, right? you know, it was KOTOR 1 and 2 and BioShock Infinite. Those are the only two games I've ever gone back to playing after. Well, that and the Halo. Okay, sorry. Let's rewind the track. You know, so Halo, the Halo series, and then those three other games. You know, KOTOR 1 and 2 and this and but now here I am playing Sony God of War. Here I am playing Spider-Man. Games that you, typically once I beat, I'm done with. So it's interesting. You know, while I don't usually pay for, you know, those type of online services, if it's something that would give me an opportunity to, I can no longer now say never, you know.
Luca.
They got me, goddammit.
Yeah. All right, Pete, let's go to the next topic here very quick, man. So you're a fan of Call of Duty. I know you play that in the past. I know you probably take some breaks here and there. So, you know, I know the whole Activision, Blizzard joining the Microsoft family in very soon, I believe. I think it's this year, I think, or sometime early next year. But they're saying that Microsoft claimed that it doesn't have plans to make Call of Duty an exclusive for Xbox after all this goes through. But the company also said that it wouldn't be profitable to make Call of Duty Xbox exclusive. Do you agree with that? I think, personally for me, having this game out to multiple platforms is going to make more money for the company. Having an Xbox exclusive, you might get a couple people to join and subscribe to the service or buy the console, but they might, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out like if this is something that's going to help the company having it as an exclusive or not, man. But your thoughts about that for you, do you agree that it would have been profitable, or do you think this is more of PR talk? So all this goes through smoothly for the company.
So Call of Duty is the cash cow regardless. Right. And yes, Sony does have a bone to be pick with this, simply because that's their number one game on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. If and when it's difficult to say, if and when this deal does go through, Microsoft themselves will essentially own the most popular game on Sony. I don't think we've ever seen this ever happen in the entire history of video games, where a title that is the most popular on one platform is now owned by the competitor. If the fact is that Microsoft plans to put it on Game Pass, will it start to attract that other half? Because, I mean, you can go to the store and buy an Xbox right now. Not a problem. You know, they've got stock available on shelves. So for them to put it on Game Pass, where you no longer have to pony up $70 on the yearly iteration, you're essentially paying for it free after after a few months. On top of the fact that you've got the entire Game Pass, you know, the inventory and catalog of games, plus you've got all the brand new AAA and, you know, AA and indie teams that are on ID at Xbox. You've got that entire catalog of games at your fingertips whenever you want to play. Considering the fact that Microsoft is now saying that, you know, and I think they're trying to steer the directive on that. You know, it's scary, not for me, but does it hold weight and does it cause concern for Sony in and of itself, because now they're essentially their biggest title on their platform, which, yes, has always been multiplayer or has always been multi-platform. Could it potentially, you know, cause any kind of damage or reputation issue with Sony? I don't know.
I mean, let's keep it real. You know, that, I mean, first of all, they have a marketing deal with Activision, a PlayStation, and that's been going on now for a couple of years. And it first started with Xbox, you know, with the original Xbox, Xbox 360, a little bit with Xbox One, but they stopped after that. So,
right.
I'm wondering if that's something that will be like a great move for Xbox, I mean, it's going to work for the new game Starfield and, you know, other future projects, right? But Call of Duty, it's like, I see it as like a game like Minecraft. Like, that's a multi-platform game. I don't see that as like an exclusive for Xbox. But the only difference is you could buy the game on PlayStation. But hey, if you want this for free, subscribe to the service and you'll play it on the console or the PC. I mean, that makes sense business-wise, you know? So, yeah.
I mean, there's definitely going to be lost sales in general for Sony as a result of this, if they do decide at some point, A, that this transaction goes through, B, whether they make it exclusive to Xbox. I mean, we've seen the conversation already across the board, you know, with all of the other Bethesda titles. You know, we've had that same conversation ad nauseum here on our show itself. Why spend all this X millions or X billions of dollars to acquire a company to not have it as an exclusive, you know? By now doing this and essentially cutting off a massive chokehold on sales, but as a result, bringing in more people to your ecosystem and buying consoles. I don't know. That's something that the bean counters at Microsoft are seriously going to have a really, really long conversation. You know, yes, Sony has said that, you know, the Call of Duty games will remain, you know, multi-platform due to contractual agreements, which I'm assuming are all these marketing, you know, these marketing deals. But at some point, those deals will expire. Whether it's, I think it's the next at least two or three Call of Duty games for PlayStation. After that, at some point, Microsoft has to have that hard to heart. You know, has to have that what me and my friends call the come to Jesus moment, where it's like, okay, we fulfilled our contractual obligation. You know, if you want to play Call of Duty, come to the green side.
Let me tell you, man, if that happens, oh, man, that's going to be a lot of people pissed.
That's going to be, you're going to have a lot of upset people. I mean, you're just going to have upset. I mean, just think of it and you know, think of it from the player's perspective, right? The one thing that I have always said from a multiplayer, when you're having a platform discussion on which platform to select, I have always been the person that said, choose the side where you have the most friends. If you're a multiplayer, you know, fan like I am, choose the platform where you and your friends are going to play the most, whether that be Xbox, whether that be, you know, PC, whether that be on PlayStation or Steam Deck.
Oh, Steam Deck. Yeah, there you go.
You know, choose the platform. I mean, essentially, at the end of the day, that's essentially PC. But choose the platform. And for me, prior to you know, back in the 2010s, and et cetera, it was on Xbox. So I would, you know, hey, if you're going to play, or if you want to play with me, let's you know, choose the Xbox, because you can play Rainbow Six or Halo or Ghost Recon or all those other titles. While yes, you could play most of those on PlayStation, that's where I was, because that's where all of my friends played. You know, change gears to 2015, 2014, where I started building the gaming PCs and I started playing primarily on PCs, and that's where I was just like, you know, I had friends messaging me and say, hey, are you ever going to come back? Brian, our good friend, you know, hey, you know, Destiny, you know, are we going to play? Are we on? Let's do it. You know, so it's, you have to have that heart to heart talk. You're internally like, where go play where you're going to, you know, where you and your friends are. But that is going to be the one that, you know, because you've got millions of people primarily playing Call of Duty on PlayStation. So now shifting that to Xbox, if that does happen, that's a lot of upset gamers.
You know, and now now with crossplay, that's gonna help. You don't need to be worried like, oh man, I can't play on the console, you know? So it's all good. By the way, so let's go to the next topic, because we're almost going to wrap it up here. Because this is a very important topic. So, and I have a theory about this, OP, also. So, Xbox accused Sony of paying developers Game Pass block fees. Now, I have to bring it back because this is something happened years ago. Probably a lot of people didn't even notice about this. And I believe it was Star Wars Battlefront 2 that happened. So I remember that game had a marketing deal with PlayStation, right? So you will see a lot of the marketing, and you see the logo, even the TV commercials, everything, trailers, everything, right? So during that time too, Xbox had just added also EA All Access. You get to play all the EA games through Xbox Game Pass. And what you could do too is play upcoming games, and you get like maybe like a four hour trial, something like that, maybe 5 hours or so. Just because you're part of the Game Pass subscription service, right? So the game is coming out. Now you see people within the company from Xbox promoting it, playing it first on social, play first through Xbox Game Pass. And the game hasn't even come out yet, you know? Meanwhile, Sony has that exclusive deal. They're marketing it, everything, right? So ever since that day, I've been hearing that Sony been having contracts deals with other developers that if this game is available through only on PlayStation console, it can't be on Game Pass for a certain amount of like time frame. It could be like a year, 2 years, depending on the contract and everything like that. So when I read this article on Video Games Chronicles, I'm like, you know what? It makes sense why this is happening, bro. Like this, I could see this happening. Like now, you know, PlayStation is doing that. And look, it's the business move because they don't want to lose people to not buy the game on the platform. And now they're playing it through the Game Pass. You get what I'm saying? So this all makes sense why this is happening. But I want to hear your thoughts about my theory, number one. And number two, do you think this is a smart move that Sony is actually doing this, man?
So this, from my memory, started back like 2016, 2017 or something like that when Minecraft was announced as going to be cross-platform, right? Nintendo at the same time also announced Rocket League would be coming to the Switch, right? So it's not the first time we've seen something like this come up, because if I recall correctly, it was Jim Ryan saying, oh, we've got a responsibility to, you know, our install base to make sure that, you know, we're giving them the opportunity to play. Like, and they seem to be okay with it from the Nintendo side, but because it was Microsoft and Xbox on the other side, they got upset, right? This isn't the first time this has happened. We had conversations about this back 2021 when Sony was originally saying no to cross play on Fortnite, you know, like was this like a 2018 just after that, you know. It's not the first time. I think at some point, I think it might have even been the same year as that whole Fortnite debacle, was when the Sony CEO was talking about having, you know, PlayStation being the best place to play Fortnite. And then, you know,
it's PR speak. Yeah.
Right. So look, it's not the first time we hear it now. All of a sudden now it's coming back up to hear whether they're actually legitimately doing, you know, they're paying for the blocks, you know, maybe it's to me, it's starting to sound like the truth. You know, people have been peeling back the layers of the onion, and now we're getting to the truth where, you know, it's starting to come out. Do I agree with it?
It's business. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Do I think it hurts the industry? No, but I think it does foster some more of that plastic console love. Mm-hmm. You know, but playing Forza or Gears of War on PC is butter smooth. We've seen that it works. Why add to the vitriol that's already prevalent on socials and going, you know, and so forth? It's not worth it. Just if it can,
you gotta understand, Pete. It's business. Like they don't want to lose people buying games on the console, and instead they'll go through the service and they'll play that, you know, through PC and or the Xbox console without buying it. They just subscribe, you know. So like to me, like for example, the conversation we were just having a few minutes ago about Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty is gonna be multi-platform, right? Available on PlayStation, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, but you could also buy the game on Xbox, but you could also get it through the subscription service. Me, as a consumer that's trying to save money, I'm going to go with the subscription service. I just get it through there. I don't have to buy it. You know, I'm paying monthly through the service. I have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, so it makes sense, you know? So that's the problem. They don't want to lose those numbers, man, from people, man. And so, I don't know. So, do I see Xbox doing the same thing like to PlayStation? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's more of PlayStation doesn't have those day one titles available for now to their service. So it makes sense why they're doing that, you know. So I mean, we'll see.
Well,
but I think it will be a big move if they can manage to get, you know, a game like Call of Duty or like something really big like that day one available to the PlayStation Plus subscription service. That'll be huge for the company, I think.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, GTR listeners, let's talk about our sponsor, Backbone. What's holding you back from the ultimate gaming experience? Is it the hundreds of dollars it costs for your setup? Or are you the busy on the go with only minutes to spare? Level up your game with Backbone, the universal gaming essential that instantly enhances your gaming experience on mobile. Backbone just released a PlayStation edition of the beloved Backbone. The officially licensed controller for PlayStation was brought to life in collaboration with the PlayStation design team. It has elegant colors, materials, and finishes, all inspired by the design of the PlayStation 5 DualSense controller, all the way down to the transparent face buttons. It looks amazing, plus the floating experience. Simply plug in your iPhone to the Backbone and enjoy console quality controls as you play console games via remote play or cloud streaming services, and even games in the App Store. I'm going to give you a couple of perfect examples of games that you could try with this, man. Apex Legends Mobile, Call of Duty Mobile, Minecraft, even use the PlayStation Remote Play or play any other game through the App Store. I've been talking about this for a while through social media. I know Paris too, and I think also Paris has one right now at the house and everything, man. So highly recommend it. But this is what I want you guys to do, man. Go right now to playbackbone.com/GTR now to order your Backbone for a limited time and get free access to over 350 games and perks. Backbone is now the official partner of Diablo Immortal. Not only the game is optimized for Backbone, but you also receive $10 of in-game perks. Find your next adventure at playbackbone.com/GTR. That's playbackbone.com/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Well, look, we know that Phil Spencer came on record with the New York Times earlier this year talking about, talking about, you know, if somebody gets banned on one network, that's something that can be, you know, that kind of information can be shared across all of it, right? So that way it just, it cuts down on bullying and cyber nonsense, right? Just, oh, you're gonna be a douchebag on Xbox Live. Well, guess what? Now you don't get to play on PlayStation Network. You don't get to play on Nintendo's, or you don't get to play on Steam, or you don't get to play on whatever. I am okay with that. As far as game sharing or cross platform or cross progression, I've been asking for that for years, and I'm happy that it's finally becoming popular and it's becoming something that's more commonplace. But it's not so long ago, and go back to the Xbox 360 days where the script was flipped, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's
so let's not get it twisted. Let's not say that, you know, because Xbox has a much better, you know, foundation now, and they're much more sharing now about, you know, information and supporting it. These were the same bad people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, not
denying that at all.
Put the shoe on the other foot. It was just, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Hopefully people have learned from those mistakes, because just because you're good now doesn't mean you're going to be good later, and you're going to have to rely on other things to improve your system or improve your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Xbox recognize they flipped their rhetoric. Hopefully PlayStation can do the same, and hopefully we can have a truly organic and shared experience regardless of platform at some point. Mm-hmm. That's my dream.
Yeah, and for those that have, you know, feedback, thoughts about this, please send us an email, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. All right, we're going to wrap it up, but first, it's only a month away before the release of my children's book, Danny Loves Video Games. It's coming out September 15th. Very, very excited about this, Pete. I know we've been talking about it. I wasn't saying anything about this project to anyone. It was like a very small group of people that knew about it. So I surprised the crew once this was officially announced and everything. So, but I've been doing a lot of interviews now with a lot of media outlets. You're going to get to see it once it goes live and everything, man. So I'm very excited about that, man. So, but September 15th, I'm going to be in Miami, where actually my cousin and I, Mr. Luna, and his wife, Annie, we're having a author series, kind of like a book tour, but for now we're going to start in Miami, and we've been working with the Miami-Dade Public Library System over there, and yeah, we're going to have it on Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. We're going to be there. The library is called Kendall Lakes Branch. This is 15205 Southwest 88th Street in Miami, Florida. If you want, go to the description of this episode. The link will be there. Make sure to register. We only have 28 tickets left, and it's going to be a full house by the time. I think by this week, the tickets are going to be gone, man. So make sure to go right now to the Miami-Dade Public Library System website and register. It's totally free. You can bring your kids, bring family. It's going to be a lot of people driving from Orlando, from a bunch of places in Florida, to attend this event. We're going to have copies of the book there and everything. And for those who are listening and you can't attend this event, don't worry. There might be future events in the future. I just don't know where exactly where we're going to have it so far. But I'll definitely let you know. But you can still go right now and pre-order the book. You can get the ebook version or hardcover. You can just go right now in Spanish and English. Go right now to Amazon. And the book is available there. Just search for Danny Loves Video Games and you will see it there, man. So, again, it will be under the description of this episode. Just click the link and it will take you to the Spanish version and the English version. So, very excited. Can't wait for this book to come out next month, man. It's going to be something very, very exciting. Can't wait.
Quick question. Yes. Because I'm here in the States, would I be able to, or I'm not here in the States. I am in Europe. Can I buy that through Amazon?
Yes, it's international.
It's international? Okay.
Worldwide, yep. Nice. They will send it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that pre-order it through Amazon, and they live in the UK and other places too. So, yeah, even the Dominican Republic, there's people that bought it too.
Nice.
So I'm like, all right, that's awesome. And yeah, so awesome. Go ahead, support. It will be very, very helpful, and hopefully I could do more of these in the future, man. You know, it's something for those who don't know, the main reason why I made this book with my cousin is because I'm trying to, one, inspire a lot of the young kids. You know, back then when I was a kid, I didn't have like no mentor. Nobody told me how to do things. I was just doing everything on my own, you know. And now that I'm in the industry, you know, now for the past 21 years, which is insane, you know, I want to give back as many people as possible, man, you know, from different communities, man. So that's one. And the second thing and the most important thing is, for parents not to just say, ah, you're wasting your time. This is not a real job. This and this and that. There is jobs and big, big, huge opportunities in gaming in different areas. It could be in development, content creation, or whatever it is, marketing, PR, et cetera, right? But if your kid has a dream, help them as much as possible so they can achieve their dreams, you know? So that's the main reason why I made this book. You know what I'm saying? So, and Pete, look, your son has been casting for Riot. He's been doing all this cool stuff, you know, like it's good for you to get that support from them. He's doing a great job, man, you know, and I hope he could do the same once he have kids in the future too. You get what I'm saying? So
appreciate that. That
to me is super important. We need more people, talented people in our industry to join and just get in, man. Show their talent to the world, man. You know
what's cool is that library is also where my daughter got her first library card at the tender age of 4. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, you know what? This is a true story. Not that library, but there was another one nearby, minutes away, the Hammocks Library, which is a bigger, really big library. That's where I went almost every day to that library because I didn't have a computer. And I'll go there, and I made my own website. I got my first email back in the 90s when I was a kid. I would just go there and just learn how to design websites and everything. I was using Angel Fire back then, or whatever it was, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, but you know, getting that support from the library, that helped me a lot. That helped me how to become a better content creator nowadays. You know, so baby steps, man. Yeah,
super cool. Very cool. Everybody starts somewhere.
Hell yeah. Very, very cool. So yeah, everyone, make sure to go right now. Amazon, doesn't matter, anywhere around the world, you could buy it. And also, it's available on Walmart and Barnes & Noble. I just saw recently it's going to be there, man. So yeah, there you go. All right, we're going to head out here, guys. Make sure to go to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We've been releasing nonstop episodes every week. We plan to have more in the future, especially now with Gamescom coming up, Tokyo Game Show, PAX is coming up. You know, we're not saying we're going to attend those events, but we're planning to have opportunities from companies for us to get hands-on and interviews and so on. So just be on the lookout for that. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, and then post your review. If you don't agree with us, or have some comments or questions for the crew to be part of fan mail, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, anything else from your side?
Man, I almost feel like I took over the show.
Hey, it's been a while.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. A while, nah, man. Time to get back into the Steam Deck, keep on playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Once again, congratulations on the release of the book coming up. It's essentially a month from now. I love that it's tied to Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yes, that's the main reason why I did it too. Yeah. I did that, and for those who don't know, that was the 1-year anniversary of when I was part of the campaign on Twitch and the billboards on Times Square. And that was also the day I proposed to Ree in Dominican Republic, Punta Cana. All right. September 15th. Yeah, that's wild how everything just happened that day. But there you go. But yeah, I'm very excited. Super excited about this, man. And nice. You know what is wild to me before we wrap this up? There's been people that have been contacting me privately where one of them, actually, she's having a granddaughter very, very soon, in a couple months. She wanted me to sign the book, and she she's not a gamer. She's not into content creation at all. She's, you know, but she's been following me some way back, and she just said that once her daughter gets old, granddaughter gets older, she wants to read the book to her. You know, and I'm like, awesome. Wow, that's, you know, stories like that. It's like, wow, man, it's really cool, really, really cool, and that's exciting too to hear that. Yeah. So, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to episode 1220 here at GamerTagRadio.com. This is Danny, and this is Pete. We're out. Until next time.
Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.